I'm a big nerd.
Yeah, well, you're in good company. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jarvis with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is December 13th, 2015, and this is episode 144. Company from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering the games against Golden State, Miami, and Detroit. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Real briefly, a shout-out to local theater. Went to the Phoenix today and watched their 10th annual Christmas Spectacular, and it was wonderful. Shout out to Tap Dancing Christmas Trees. So,
I thought that was implied.
Support local theater.
Is this just Indianapolis local theater,
or all over? Just I know that we have fans all over the world. Go find your local theater. Go support them.
I will only support Tap Dancing Christmas Trees.
That's fine. If you do that, that will help.
Okay.
Coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, the land of Tap Dancing Christmas Trees. Our enforcer, John Harper.
Didn't know the enforcer was in the Tap Dancing Christmas Trees, did you? Losing my street cred. Shout out to the Colts this week for playing so miserable that I have to root for freaking New England today. I'm very sad. My heart died a little bit.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
That's no good. I give a shout out to Jason traveling again this week.
Shout out.
He's going to miss a couple more shows, but he'll be back soon. Miss you, buddy. You guys, a story came across the wire, and Nike, you guys have probably heard of them. They make shoes.
No, we've never heard of that in Oregon, no.
Okay. Well, it's a local shoe company in Oregon.
They're kind of small, like a little shoe store.
Right. Exactly. Mom and pop shop. They just delivered a metric ass ton of money to LeBron James. It's a lifetime shoe deal worth apparently like $500 million or something, like $30 million a year potentially. This guy's, his kids are going to go to college. That's all I'm saying.
Why?
Why do anything? Why get off the couch, really?
No, that's after they've purchased the college.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so he set up for himself and you're right, his kids and his kids' kids. not bad. Credit to him for being the best athlete on the planet right now, and I guess he got paid for it.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the terms have not been officially disclosed. Originally, they were saying it was worth $500 million, but that $30 million may be in addition to that baseline $500 million total number. So
sure, so they're not like splitting it up $30 million a year,
correct?
In perpetuity.
He's right. Getting some percentage of his shoe sales on top of that. So
wow.
Which may be the only reason that he's staying in basketball at this point.
Yeah, well, he's how old is he now? He's 32, something like that. 30?
think he's 30.
Yeah.
The 30. Yeah.
Probably time to retire. He's got two rings.
Yeah, he's not.
Well, I think
at all.
This is probably in response to not being Eastern Conference Player of the Month. He had to do something to get his cred back.
Right. Sure.
Well, he was busy negotiating this deal. He didn't have time to hit every practice.
Yeah, he's like, oh, sure, Paul George, you're Eastern Conference Player of the Month. I'm rich for life.
Yeah.
Finally, because he was, you know, a little struggling before.
In truth, though, he actually, I think he does deserve some credit. He originally, LeBron had an agent when he first came into the league. The guy got him $150 million worth of endorsements or something, and LeBron shit-canned the guy because he wanted to go with his own entourage, essentially running his empire, or soon-to-be empire. And he still is basically running with that, and they negotiated this deal. So there were a lot of doubters, you know, people saying that they would drive him into the ground. But clearly LeBron is doing okay.
Yeah, that kind of worked out for everybody.
It seems to have. You know, when you're LeBron James, it's hard to screw it up. Maybe somebody else could have gotten him another $100 million. I don't know. But it sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
Well, gentlemen, we had three games this week. The first one, December 8th, 2015. Warriors traveled to Indiana, and they've been on course on the winning streak. And they take down the Pacers 131 to 123. You know, we all have been talking about Steph Curry a lot because he's having an incredible season. But he is just one of the Splash Brothers. And there's another one, and his name was Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson picked up 39 points that game, was just on fire. Also, he was open for a lot of these looks, too, which was a little frustrating.
Aggravating.
Yeah, they put up 44 points in the first quarter, 35 in the second, and that game was over.
Yeah, 22-0 run in the first quarter. Is that what you said?
23, but...
23?
I'm sorry, yeah, 22, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'll shut the door pretty quick. I mean, to our credit, we did not give up on this game, and in the fourth quarter... We actually outscored them 40-20 to make this look on paper respectable and actually make them put their starters back in,
yeah,
which was almost disastrous. Klay Thompson actually turns an ankle late in this game where by no rights should he have been playing basketball anymore. It turned out to not be too serious. I think he missed two games. He's also been struggling with a back this season. He apparently was starting to feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
10 of 16 from three-point land. He's on my fantasy squad and has not been playing well.
That changed a little bit that game.
By no rights is he a worse. By no rights is he a worse player than he was last year. I mean, this is what happens when you're fighting a nagging back injury. You're not going to shoot the ball as well. It's going to throw off your shooting motion. Certainly helps to get a team who's not chasing you off the three-point line or playing transition D, but.
Well,
10 of 16 in practice ain't bad.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you know, you can't blame the guy for not having an incredible season. He's playing next to the hottest guy in the history of basketball right now. So, you know, maybe
shouldn't
your stats
make him more efficient.
Maybe more efficient, but your stats are going to go down.
Right.
You know, and yeah,
but he hasn't been shooting the ball well though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean that by Klay Thompson standards.
Sure.
I mean, he's shooting 42% or something. not the 47, 48, 49% that you would expect from him.
I thought we went in with a pretty good game plan and tried to take care of Steph Curry, and we sort of did, but you can't just guard one dude. I mean, Steph Curry still ended up with, 29, something like that?
Yep, 29 on 11 of 23 shooting.
Yeah. I felt like that was our focus, and then our other focus was, let's see if we can just outscore them, which is, you know, not how you beat the Warriors. This has always been my argument. Why go small ball with this team when they're clearly better at it than anybody in the league? But, you know, you're right.
Do you have other ideas?
Yeah, I mean, my idea is to go big and play defense and, you know,
that, against Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli, yes, who are both that, having wonderful yeah, seasons.
No, no, it is. And just having better perimeter defense and stuff like that.
I would love to have better perimeter defense too, but you think small ball would actually help you there?
Yeah.
Because you've got true perimeter defenders on the court.
Yeah, but and there's yeah, and there's nobody there in the middle once they get there though. Once they beat you off the dribble. And to Steph Curry's I thought credit, he did a pretty good job of driving in the lane and they just do everything really well. Steph Curry got lots of alley-oops to other people. He got a lot of easy layups based on their passing. They just pass the ball really well. They do everything really well. We got destroyed in this game. We still put up, 123, but, this wasn't about them playing defense. This was about them, beating us in the first half.
Well, I mean, I think our game plan that we talked about going into this game was to do the best that we could on Steph Curry and try and shut everybody else down. But Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli combined for 12 of 16 on us.
Yeah.
We get out-rebounded in this game. And I don't know that that's really a small ball problem.
I think that's totally a small ball problem. I mean, if we'd had big guys in the middle that could bang with those guys, that helps.
But they're not really bangers. That's the thing. What they do is they get the ball to their guys in advantageous positions.
No, right? Without a doubt. They do. They share the ball really well. And there's right. their spacing is fantastic. And these guys are getting dunks and layups. Mm-hmm. Being out rebounded is, I think,
Well, that's Draymond Green doing that to you, right? That's 9 rebounds from Draymond, 7 from Steph Curry, 7
yeah.
from.
It's part of why they're special. They can be small and still crash the glass. That's why they go undefeated.
Yeah, this wasn't the Andre Drummond thing where he grabs 29. This was a real team right. effort of 5 guys rebounding. I mean, Festus Ezeli only had 5. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a team that just – they have bigs. I mean, I think Andrew Bogut is a legitimate big on this team.
Well, were you bummed out that Brandon Rush was playing and playing well? Did that bum anybody else out? Yeah.
You know that guy's going to bring it, too, against the Pacers.
I mean, but he – why? I mean, he could never bring it as a Pacer.
All the players – that, play for the team.
Was he really mad at us? He was a nice kid. We all liked his shooting stroke, but he just wanted to do drugs instead of play basketball. And, that's cool, man. Everybody wants to play drugs instead of play drugs. Everybody wants to do drugs instead of do other stuff. I get that.
It's my favorite sport.
Exactly. but, I mean, I don't think we, did we really, abuse him on the way out the door?
He doesn't have to even just be mad. You want to show, you want to show the people you used to work for, show them that you're good, right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I get why Jill Green's mad or Lance maybe wants to show us something, but Brandon Rush, that kind of ended because he didn't really want to play basketball for us, I thought, but whatever.
I mean, what he wants is to have a good game, and our efforts to shut down Steph Curry resulted in what you might imagine they might 10 assists. Because that guy can pass the ball. And when you're working hard on Steph Curry, it's going to leave Brandon Rush open. And the guy can knock down shots.
Yeah.
Especially around the rim.
I think you can definitely see that this team has played together for a long time. The Warriors, there's, like you're saying, lots of assists this game. Curry making, just weird angled, over the shoulder, no look passes.
Oh, yeah. There were some pretty ones in this one.
Yeah, I mean, to Bogut, and if it's you're thinking the same thing the Pacers defense is thinking. It's like, what the hell is he doing? And then Bogut's laying it in,
Right. I mean, that's just it. As a defense, you try and protect the angles that are there.
Right.
Steph Curry just understands the game in a really special way.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to defend him. And he was plenty productive in this game.
Yeah, it was fun to watch them. I mean, they're just really a joy to watch. And I've watched them off and on, because of their streak or whatever. But, I hadn't watched a full game with them. And that's really special. They're really good at their jobs.
Most nights.
Yeah. I mean, we ended up with more fast break points than this team, 23 to 15. We did make them play at least a little bit of half court, albeit very fast half court. But, you know, this is a measuring stick for us. We've been playing very good ball. We know that this is a better team. And losing to them, just, I mean, it's an opportunity to learn how far you have to go, right? And my argument for playing a similar style of ball is there are plenty of things to be learned here. Eventually, you would love for your team to be a perfect positionless basketball team. That's the dream for everybody.
Sure.
So there's lessons to be learned
here. Since Isaiah Thomas, that's been the Pacers' dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And this team is doing it the best, so you watch the film over and over and over and try and emulate the best of that. And just like everybody else, scramble to figure out what you can add to get to their level. And what was this? Was this 23 in a row for them or 22 in a row?
It's 23.
23 in a row for them to start a season. Pretty and they're 13th impressive. In a row on the road.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I think that set the record for most road wins to start a season, yeah.
It also set the record for most ridiculous, I think.
Yes. And it set the record again for most wins to start a season.
Right. And if you do that stupid thing between the two seasons, that tied, right? Did that tie the record of 27 wins in a row?
Yes.
Okay.
I like how you're really angry.
I'm super angry at this particular stat. Every time it shows up on ESPN, I'm like, that's not fair. Like, that can't be better than what Miami did. I'm sorry. It's not 27 wins in a row. It's 23 plus 4 from, like, a year ago. Like, that doesn't even count. It's a different team. Like, this. Shut up. Shut up, ESPN. Maddie.
See, what I am willing to concede is the three that they won in the playoffs. Why they're only using the regular season statistics, I can't understand for the life of me. Give them the ones from the championship. Those are the hardest ones to get. I'll accept that.
But I would be. I agree with you. I would be more willing to accept that.
Because then that's only plus three, right? They won their last three in the finals.
And that's probably why they went with the regular season. I'm sorry, I'm doing air quotes right now, which my listeners can't hear.
They never do. Like the records that matter, they always do. They separate the playoffs and the regular season.
And that makes no sense to me. The playoffs are infinitely more important. So
okay, the Warriors have just lost to the Bucks, and so they ended up with what, 24 in a row to start a season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you know what? That's not better than 27 in a row. I'm sorry. I know that if you add the four from previous season, but they, in my mind, always will have the third longest winning streak of all time. This spanning
at least until later this year.
Well, sure, that's fine. But spanning this shit two seasons is bullshit, and everybody, I think, needs to know it. And don't let any of your buddies at the bar tell you that this is the second longest win streak ever, because it's a lie. It's a crock.
Yeah, you fight them if they tell
that's
you
right.
That.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Don't even let them finish their argument. Just throw a glass at their face and walk out.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, don't drink with the enforcer, apparently.
We got to talk about some stuff, buddy. We can do it later. Well, that put the Pacers on a three-game losing streak, having lost the two before that. On their Western road trip. So they came Friday, December 11th, taking on the Miami Heat. And they beat those guys 96-83. This game, my wife and I went, and it was ugly, ugly basketball for much of the game. Just turnovers and bad passes and kicked balls. But Monte Ellis was there, and he did some work. He looked great. I was really, really impressed with him. PG, of course, had a pretty good game. And I'm really impressed with Justice Winslow. This guy's going to be real good.
God, he can play, can he?
Mm-hmm.
Not a great stat line for him, but he's just always doing the right things. I'm annoyed by Justice Winslow. It's the Duke thing.
Yeah, this was, I think. Yeah, one of our ugliest games of the season. But, you know, Miami's one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. They like to muck things up and make them sloppy, and we're also very good at forcing turnovers, which we did in this game. And, you know, it makes for ugly basketball, but I just like going toe-to-toe with Miami and beating them. And we got to do that again. Dwayne Wade still looks pretty good. Chris Bosh still has some, you know, gas left in the tank.
Yeah, 23-10 is a good night.
Yeah, no, I mean, they look still kind of like Miami, but they also looked a little bit like they were missing, like, a key piece. Like, and they're probably going to always look like that to me now that LeBron's gone. They don't scare me that much as a team, but they're still, they're well coached, and they probably need to get, you know, I think a year or two from now when Winslow is sort of up to speed and going to be able to fill into that cog where right now Luol Deng is, who seems a little washed up to me, and Dragic doesn't seem exactly sure what he's doing. The Dragon doesn't seem to totally fit here yet, even though he's a fantastic player. So it was still nice to beat them. They're a good team. They had the same record as us going into this game, but it was kind of fun to beat up on them, and I wasn't really that afraid of them at the end of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought Goran Dragic, I didn't think, I was not impressed him. No. And I liked him. I thought he was great when he was in Phoenix. And
sure. I've long argued that he doesn't make a lot of sense in the system, though.
Yeah. Well, you're right then.
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen. I mean, he's still got time to get better. He makes a lot more sense when Dwayne Wade is not on the floor, right?
Yeah.
And that turns out to be quite a bit of the time. But it's difficult to find a role playing next to a superstar who's there 70% of the time. Like, it's an awkward situation for him, and it makes it very difficult for him to really settle in. And I think Luol Deng is the right guy for this team right now. It allows you to bring Justice Winslow along slowly and give him as many minutes as his play warrants. Yeah. So
I agree with that. I don't think they can make another step though until Winslow makes that step for them, I think is what I'm saying. Whiteside apparently is, I mean, if he wasn't a walking foul, this guy's an incredibly talented intimidator, averaging over 4 blocks a game this season. You know, he's, I think, just going to continue to get better as he figures out how not to foul every time. What did he pick up, 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes in this game, something like that?
Well, yeah, 3 in the game.
Yeah, he picked two up right away. And they, you know, it hurt his minutes.
I think on the Pacers side, like I said, Monte Ellis had a great game. He really was kind of commanding the ball and doing what he wanted. Paul George, 23 points, great game. My man of the match, though, Yam Nahimi.
Yes, sir.
This guy, that's right. He was great. 7 of 9, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, plus 17 on the day for plus minus, 10 boards. I'm sorry, 12 boards.
Mm-hmm. And 2 assists.
That's right.
Dropping dimes.
Apparently, he and Monte are they got a little chemistry thing going on here. They're kind of buddies, and Ellis is really helping him out.
Well, I mean, you know, Jan was...
he's helping his passing game. Now that he's fixed his free throws, he's moving the assist part of it.
I mean, he's perfected one, and now he's going to be the best passing
big man in the history of the league. No, they have... Actually, they are getting very good. I think Jan had 2 or 3... rolls to the basket, so Monte and Jan doing the pick and roll, and Jan just going thunderously to the rack, and just people just getting out of the way. It was freaking awesome, and that comes from, I think, people hedging on Paul George. There's a lot of reasons why this worked, but a main reason it works is Jan Mahimney's aggressiveness, and he was super aggressive in this game, and that's awesome.
I know Colson was happy that we started 2 bigs in this game.
Mm-hmm. I love Lavoie Allen.
Yeah. We did bring him. We didn't actually end up playing him a lot of minutes. It seemed like kind of a feint, really. We started him, but only played him 12 minutes. CJ Miles still plays the majority of the minutes there. Part of that, though, like you said, is Hassan Whiteside was limited in his minutes. So we did a good job of getting him into foul trouble so we could play our game.
Right. We forced them to play our game.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think... I think LaVoy Allen's pretty lost offensively, like connecting with other players. You know, if he can make a shot if he's open, but there's been several throughout this week where, you know, they're doing some like a timing thing, or and Paul George will throw it to where LaVoy maybe should have been and didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. He didn't.
No, I have seen that. Yeah,
and it happens several times. You know. But I think that's just not playing with those guys as much as
Not getting started. You know, reps.
Some of the other players,
yes, it's sure. It's kind of doing plug and play right now, and that doesn't necessarily work. And Jordan Hill, you know, has been seeing a lot of the backup big minutes. That even though LaVoy ends up starting when we go with the big lineup, so it's interesting. I guess that's useful because it doesn't change the rotation. But LaVoy's not getting a ton of burn right now. And I actually spent this week really frustrated at Jordan Hill. So I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying maybe LaVoy needs a little bit more time on the court, coach.
I'm a little frustrated with George Hill.
Hmm.
Seemed like he just disappears for long stretches.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I agreed. And this was, I felt like, the case 2 years ago with. When we had Lance Stephenson as a primary ball handler, I think he gets lost. He loses his aggression, and now we've got Monta Ellis kind of doing the same role. Right. And I'm not saying that Monta Ellis is a selfish player by any means, but it gets George Hill out of his rhythm. It gets his head out of the game. You know, you could see stretches at maybe even at the start of the game where he's super aggressive, but then. You know, we won't get him the ball much, and he kind of disappears for, you know, 5 minutes at a time.
Sure. And I think you're right. I think it has nothing to do with Monta Ellis being selfish. I think it has a lot to do with George Hill being deferential.
Yep.
And when Monta Ellis has that hot hand, he wants to make sure that the ball is delivered to him early in the offense, which is fine to a point, but that's no – I mean, you have to maintain your aggressiveness. We know that George Hill is best when he's being aggressive. And when a guy like Monte is having a good game like that, defenses are going to start dialing in. And that should open things up for George Hill to be more aggressive.
He needs to recognize
that.
Without a doubt. And there were a couple times that he attacked in this game. And, you know, that floater that tends to go in for him that didn't go in. You know, and you know, sometimes it's just an off-shooting night. But I think – you know, if he's not seeing the ball go in the basket, it's easier for him to be deferential, especially to a hot hand. I'm with you, though. I feel like for us to be where we can be, that aggressive George Hill from last year has to continue to be a part of this team.
Sure. Both of those guys, both George Hill and Monta Ellis, failed to get to the line. We shot 90% and in some sense won this game from the line. We got there 20 times. But you would love to see them be able to get on the, you know, get some easy points at the charity stripe. When you're struggling from the field, you got to find a way to get there.
Well, the next night, Saturday, December 12th, Pacers travel to Detroit, take on the Pistons, and George Hill did have a decent night, but they come up short 96-118. I think the name of the game here was defense or lack thereof, giving up 37 points in the second and third quarters. That is going to lose you some ball games for sure.
That's brutal.
This was a much worse defensive effort than what we put up against the Golden State Warriors to me.
Mm.
Giving up 120 anything to the Warriors is not great. But they do that to people.
Right.
The Pistons should not be throwing up 118 on you. That should not happen.
Yeah, you know, what's frustrating is that, you know, after we came back from this road trip, the Western road swing, we really kind of lost, I think, our defensive aggressiveness in the last couple games. You know, played well against the Clippers, but then kind of let it slide. And apparently in practice, they were they usually start practice and in practice with like offensive drills, and they just scrapped those for defensive drills. And I think it really showed in the Miami game. You know, we were able to muck it up with Miami, and then to have this be, you know, the next game, it's crazy. Like, you know, you've got to be able to play defense and offense. And you feel like, okay, well, if we're focusing on defense, at least maybe we can win a game with defense. And yeah, this is awful. Detroit's not that good.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sort of perplexed by I feel like we don't play particularly well against stretch fours. And it seems like that's something that we should do a pretty good job of.
We should do very well against it, I would think.
But it seems like over the course of the season, we have not done a good job against stretch fours. Overall, this team matches up well against us, right? They got a slashing one, which we know we have problems with. They've got a true center in this league in Andre Drummond, who's a beast. But we sort of contain those guys, right? I mean, 8-11 from Andre Drummond, 21-9 assists, but, you know, less than 50% shooting from Reggie Jackson. But everybody else beats up on us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that this team isn't our favorite matchup. I know that they have position players. But this has got to be tired legs, right? I mean, there's no question that we're a better defensive team than we showed in this game, right?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, that's effort stuff, right? And if you don't bring the effort, you're going to lose. I mean, every team in this league is professional, and and you know, Marcus Morris had a great game against us last time we played. I mean, this could be that's a problem matchup for us, kind of a big three, and then you've got a stretch four. So yeah,
why would a big three be a problem for us?
I don't know, but he plays well against us. So
LeBron James is a big three who we maybe should have problems with,
right?
But there's no other three in the league.
No, I mean, I agree. But, I mean, you know, and again, C.J. Miles should be able to keep up with Ilyasova on the perimeter. I mean, there are a ton of reasons why
this
doesn't make sense.
He torches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those things should work, and they didn't. So if that's lack of effort or lack of game plan or, you know, whatever that is.
I mean, it's just one of those things. It felt like we did a good job game planning vis-a-vis the last game, but we did a poor job of execution, right? We did a good job on Andre Drummond. He's 4 of 11. With 11 rebounds, which is acceptable.
Oh, completely acceptable. But I'm wondering if we should have gone the other way and just let him go for 30 and 25 again, and maybe that's how
we
beat
this
team.
You should never let anybody get 29 rebounds.
No, I'm just saying, maybe that's how we beat this team.
I'll give the 25 points, but you can't have the 29 boards.
Maybe that's how we beat this team. Just let him go bananas and we, you know, guard everybody else. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when we shoot 50% in the game, we should have a fair shot at winning that game. Now, we were just 3 of 16 from three-point land, and that certainly has an effect. And again, I think some of that's tired legs. Some of that is them doing a good job chasing us off the three-point line, but I'm just going to chalk this up to tired legs, right? And two big matchups earlier in the week.
It was a long week for us. You're right. And we actually, last week, we talked about this is the trap game. You know, this is the game where it's the letdown. We had two nationally televised games, you know, and then going on the road. This was the trap game, and we lost it. So we sort of saw this coming, but we're a better team than Detroit. I still believe that.
And I mean, that's just it, right? We consider Miami is still a rivalry. Nobody outside of Detroit thinks that us and them are a rivalry anymore.
Right.
They're the only fans who think that, so... Worthy of note, though, this is the first losing week that we have had since October. We go 1-2 this week, but that's the first time that this has happened. So it's going to be interesting.
Where does that leave us on our standings?
Our current win-loss?
Yeah.
We're 13-9, and we're split 6-6 on the road.
Okay. You play 500 ball on the road, and you win at home, you go into the playoffs, baby.
And the really good news is in the upcoming week, we've got... 3 of 4 at home. We take Toronto on Monday, Dallas on Wednesday, Brooklyn on Friday, so no back-to-backs. And we travel to Memphis on the Saturday for back-to-back. Obviously, that'll be a tough game. But we get a chance to get some home cooking going. Toronto's a tough team. Dallas is a tough team. But I think that with the way that we play basketball for most of this season, I think we believe that we can win those games, right? And so those teams become good measuring sticks for where you're actually at. But we got to right the ship on defense. That's the big thing, right? We got to right the ship on defense.
Agreed.
that about does it for this week, I think. A little preview for next show. There's been a change in the 76ers land we're going to talk about. They are going to be, we think, less terrible here soon.
That seems like an inevitability, but sure.
I guess you're right. And as Colson, as you mentioned, the Warriors streak did end, as all streaks do eventually. And Al Jefferson's got a little trouble. We'll talk about him too. But until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. You can like us there. We are on TheUndebeatables.com. It's our website. We've got a blog there. You got a contact form. You can send us all a message there too. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We've got t-shirts for sale on the website.
For once and always coach, now in the Hall of Fame, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
That was unique.
Yeah.
They're like snowflakes, Joey.
Yeah.
That's the impressive thing. You've done this 144 times, and they're all just a little bit different.
That's right. Never one's the same.
Do you have a top 10 list of your outro songs? Or top 25?
It's always 25.
Yeah.
Every one better than the next.
That's right.
Yes.
We didn't talk about what we're drinking. Well, I'll just have to say something dumbass next show.
Sure.